From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When you go shopping, how concerned should you be about the conditions in the factories that produce the clothes you buy? A recent investigation into factories in Bangladesh uncovered child workers who are producing clothes for companies that include Hanes, Puma, and Walmart. And joining me now to fill us in on how these corporations have reacted to the allegations is Charles Kernighan, Executive Director of the National Labor Committee. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to my show. Hello.
Glad to be here.
How did the National Labor Committee find out about the abuses in these factories?
Well, we work with local organizations on the ground. So there's a women's rights group in Bangladesh, very good, called the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity. And we go back and forth to Bangladesh quite frequently. And we began to see children returning to the factories. I mean, there was a lot of child labor back in the 90s, early 90s. Maybe 100,000 kids worked in factories in Bangladesh. A lot of that was ended when the Kathy Lee Gifford scandal broke out and companies ran the opposite direction. They wouldn't touch child labor. But now it seems to be coming back. So in this one factory called Harvest Ridge, which produced for Walmart, the largest retailer in the world, and Hanes, the most recognized label in the United States, and Puma and other European companies, JCPenney as well, we estimated there was about 200 to 300 children working in that factory, most of them between 13 and 15, but some of them 10, 11 years old. And it wasn't just the child labor, it was how they were treated. I mean, it was these kids were working. Like Halima, 11-year-old girl, she would work from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock. So they worked 12 to 14 hours a day, mostly 7 days a week. Like in September when we were there, they just had one day off in the month of September. They also worked these extraordinary 19 to 20-hour shifts where they'd work all night from 8 in the morning to 3 or 4, sleep on the factory floor, get up, start all over again. And the workers reported being beaten routinely. Every single day, they said it happened. If they fell behind their production goal, if they made a mistake, they'd be slapped, cursed at, pushed. They talked about falling down, fainting, because they're working standing up, some of the kids. And they, from just sheer exhaustion, they would collapse, fall down. The supervisor would come over, you know, kick them a little bit, and they'd get up and go back to work. They were cheated of their wages. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Bathrooms had no toilet paper, had no soap, had no towels. The drinking water was dirty. I mean, it was like a nightmare. And it was going on in broad daylight with the biggest companies in the United States.
How much are they paid?
Well, Halima, the 11-year-old, is the helper. She cut loose threads off of Hanes underwear. She got 6.5 cents an hour. So you're talking wages of 53 cents a day and $3.20 a week. You're living utter misery. I mean, misery beneath what the American people could imagine.
And then you say that the factory takes deductions from their pay on top of that when they commit these little crimes of one sort or another. But why would they even take jobs like this? Are their families that destitute that they need the kid to make 6 cents an hour?
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, clearly Bangladesh is a country that has enormous unemployment and low wages. And so no parent would ever let their child go to work if it wasn't out of sheer desperation. I mean, you're one meal away from going, you know, hungry and starving. And so, yeah, kids go to work. The parents don't like it. The kids don't like it. And as a matter of fact, when we were interviewing this little 11-year-old girl, Halima, who was really beautiful and really smart, she told us, we said, have you ever been beaten? And she said, yes, I was beaten just the day before. The supervisor slapped my face because I had left a few threads on the underwear. And her father was there. And the father, like, almost broke into tears. He said, We interviewed him afterwards. He said, I never knew my daughter was being beaten in the factory. And it turned out the 11-year-old kid then told us that she doesn't tell her father that she's beaten because she loves her family very much and she knows they need the wage to buy food with. So you have these little kids like making choices they shouldn't have to make.
And the deductions are also taken out for transportation for these kids. So on top of everything else, they charge the transportation to get there. Who owns the Harvest Ridge factory? Is this an American company, a Bangladeshi company?
No, Bangladesh company, very big, 2,500 workers. But, you know, and it, of course, they it's the Walmart contracts the work to them, Hanes contracts the work, Puma, JCPenney, big European companies as well. So there was a lot of companies in this factory.
Does Bangladesh have any laws that ban or regulate child labor?
Like most countries, Bangladesh has relatively decent laws. So, for example, under Bangladesh law, no one under 13 years of age is allowed to work, period. So if you're 10, 11, 12, 13, you can't work. Even if you're an adolescent of 14, 15, 16, 17, you can only work 5 hours a day, 30 hours a week, and never at night like these kids were working. But many of the U.S. companies say they won't hire anyone under 15. They won't hire anyone under 18 years of age. But here in broad daylight, they were doing it. And then when we pointed it out to them, they said they couldn't find the child labor. In fact, they couldn't find any violations in the factory at all. They said the factory is near perfect. This was after we issued a very lengthy report with in-depth interviews with the child workers and their parents, you know, going over all the violations. They couldn't find any.
You are not alone in this investigation. You were joined by ITN Channel 4 from the UK.
Yes. Yeah, that was – they went in posing as investors with a hidden camera, and that caused a lot of problems to the factory because – you could easily see kids looking like 10 years of age inside the packing department of this factory, Harvest Ridge.
But that didn't in any way convince people in the government that they were breaking the law?
Well, you know what they said. The factory, when we issued our report, and after the television show came out in England, the response of management was to fire at least 100 kids, maybe more. We immediately found out about it. We emailed the company. We said, stop the firings. We warned them. The company then kept the firings up, except of the workers who appeared in our report, the child workers. Those child workers were rehired after they were fired for being underage. They were told that. They were rehired, and they were told that they were 18 and 19 years of age, and they received serious threats. Goons visited the parents' homes. They said to the parents, your kid's 18 years old. You say anything differently, you're going to be in trouble. They told the kids that. And then the company, the manager, Harvest Rich, started telling the foreign multinational companies that these were not children. They were really malnourished adults. And that was the problem. You see, it was all a great confusion. They only look like 12-year-olds. They're actually 19 years old, but they just are malnourished.
And wouldn't they be malnourished because they're underpaid?
Well, we wrote back and said it doesn't say a lot for your 6.5 cents an hour wages. I mean, these kids were brushing their teeth with their finger, many of them, using ashes from a fire because they couldn't afford a toothbrush. I mean, this is the level of life making clothing for Walmart.
When they fired these kids, weren't the managers afraid that they would report what was going on?
Well, the government, labor ministry doesn't function. So, in other words, when we first went to the factory, it's about 2 hours outside of Dhaka, the young workers told us, you are the first people who have ever come to talk to us and have ever offered any help. Up to that point, not one single person had ever taken their side or even wanted to meet with them. So the companies have complete impunity. They do whatever they want.
And the kids are going back to work?
Well, many of the kids who they turned into malnourished adults are still in the factory. Right now, the factory is under a lockdown. This is a very tough factory, and a lot of threats have been delivered. Every single person who met with us, every single person who met with the U.S. companies when we invited them there on November 6th for a meeting in Dhaka to meet with the workers, every single person involved in organizing any of the meetings has now been seriously threatened by gang members and by thugs and by factory management. And in some cases, workers have been badly beaten and robbed, and their parents are threatened that if their children ever open their mouths again, their houses are going to be destroyed, they're going to be kicked out of the neighborhood. So right now, the situation is like a lockdown. The factory always was like a prison. These are really inmates in these factories because they have no rights whatsoever.
My guest is Charles Kernighan, Executive Director of the National Labor Committee. We're talking about child labor in Bangladesh producing all sorts of things for American consumers. Before the investigation, do you think that the companies that you have cited were aware that children were being exploited to make their products?
No. In fact, after we put out the report, the companies jumped into action, and they sent their monitors into Bangladesh, hordes of them. They parachuted in, and they still couldn't find any violations. They couldn't find the kids. They couldn't find the fake books. They couldn't find the cheating of the wages, the beatings. They couldn't find anything. They said the factory's perfect. So we said to the companies, wait a second. We're going to invite you to a meeting in Bangladesh on Monday, November 6th in Dhaka. You come, and we'll produce some of the workers. When the factory owner found out about the proposed meeting, all hell broke loose, and there was more threats and beatings. But 13 brave workers came to the meeting. to meet with the U.S. companies. They met with Haynes. They met with the European companies. And the workers confirmed right in front of all the company executives. They said, look, there's 200 to 300 kids in that factory. Look, we work 12 to 14 hours a day. They beat us routinely. They cheat us of our wages. We're, you know, sometimes work these all-night shifts, 20-hour shifts. And then an interesting thing happened. Some of the workers pointed to the companies and said, come to the factory tonight. Come out there at 12 midnight, and you're going to find people working. One company actually had the guts to do it. It was Haynes. So after our meeting, Haynes got up, went back to the hotel, and then visited the factory at 12:30 at night. And what did they find? They found dozens of workers sewing Walmart pants, Faded Glory jeans, at 12:30 at night, 16 and a half hours into their shift, which would have been a 19 to 20-hour shift. Had the monitors not sent those workers home, they would have stayed to 3 or 4, slept on the ground for a few hours, and got up and started working 8 the next day. Haynes then said that incident opened their eyes. So all of a sudden, a company that had been monitoring this factory for years, all of a sudden its eyes were opened because they listened to what the workers said, and Haynes started to dig a little deeper. Now Haynes says that this is a factory that violates every single wage and hour law. It's a factory with fake books. It's a factory with excessive overtime, mandatory overtime, underpayment of overtime wages, and they have no confidence in management, and they pulled their work from the factory immediately.
Well, why weren't their monitoring attempts earlier more effective than this? I mean, that you had to wait until you actually introduced them to the kids.
Well, they're still not admitting to the child labor. I mean, they have to go through some real contortions not to. For example, there's like a 10-year-old kid. They're saying he didn't work in the factory. He was delivering food to the factory. But an odd thing was he had a needle and thread in his hands, and he was inside the packing department, and you can't get into these factories. There's armed guards, heavily armed guards. You have to have a pass. But the monitoring the companies have, it's not meant to succeed. These are voluntary codes of conduct and private monitoring schemes. And it doesn't work. It's never worked. It's just meant to cover over a reality of tremendous exploitation.
Well, don't you think that some of these companies are just looking the other way until they're forced not to?
Well, now it's not funny because these kids are suffering, these workers are suffering. I mean, this is dead serious stuff. But what's odd now, here you have Haynes saying that this factory is violating every single law, and JCPenney is still going around saying the factory is perfect. So now the companies are fighting each other, and Walmart's not saying a word. They just keep pouring production into the factory. But the monitoring, it's a dead end. It's the privatization of human rights. It doesn't work and will never end these circumstances until there are enforceable laws to protect basic worker rights, just like the companies have to protect their labels.
Well, I've seen any number of defenses of Walmart and others saying that this is really because the American public wants underwear for under a dollar, a T-shirt, and that's the only way this can ever be done.
Well,
so we are looking the other way.
Part of that is true, except there aren't many American people who would want their clothing made by an 11-year-old girl who's beaten and forced to work 7 days a week, who falls down from exhaustion, who's paid 6.5 cents an hour. I really don't think the American people want those bargains. They just don't know that that's what's behind the bargain. And in point of fact, after all of the abuses these workers went through, you know what they told us? They said, look, we're willing to work 11 and 12 hours a day. They know they're poor. We'll work 11 and 12 hours a day. Just stop beating us. Let us have one day a week off. Pay us our overtime correctly. You know, these modest demands, and in their wildest dreams, and they've told us this over the years, if we could earn 36 cents an hour, we could climb out of misery and into poverty. No, it's nothing.
Is Harvest Rich an exception, or are there other factories doing the same sort of thing in Bangladesh?
Well, Harvest Rich is among the bottom tier of factories, but yes, there are plenty of factories doing it. And as a matter of fact, one of the reasons we worked on this case so hard was we are beginning to see child labor return to other factories. Just by going out in front of those factories, you see kids going into it.
So who should be making the changes? Should the Bangladeshi government finally start enforcing its own laws? Or should Walmart, which has had other labor problems over the years, say, you know, we want to clean up our act, we want to help our image. They've hired PR people to do that, but we want to do it this way and stop buying from these places.
Well, I think both those approaches have failed miserably. And, for example, with the part of the Bangladesh government, they haven't raised the minimum wage in that country in the last 12 years. But the compounded inflation rate has been 87%. So the real purchasing power of the workers' wages has nearly been cut in half. But then the companies, U.S. companies, can still say, we pay the legal minimum wage, as if it's like a holy grail. Meanwhile, the workers are on their knees and their living standard is going down. You can't expect Walmart to implement laws in Bangladesh or China or any other country. We have this crisis where the label is protected, but not the human being who made it, because the companies have demanded all sorts of enforceable laws to protect their trademarks, their logos, the swoosh, the Mickey Mouse. If you imitate those, you're going to jail. You're going to be, pay multi-million dollar fines. So the companies have enforceable laws to protect their trademarks and their labels. But when you say to Walmart or these other companies, can't we have similar laws to protect the rights of the 6-year-old girl in Bangladesh who made that? They say, no, that would be an impediment to free trade. So under this system, with the label protected but not the human being, you're never going to end this race to the bottom.
My guest is Charles Kernighan, Executive Director of the National Labor Committee. Well, what about American laws? Could legislation be enacted that would bar American companies from contracting factories that use child labor?
Well, that's actually a very interesting development. Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota and at the time Representative Sherrod Brown from Ohio, they've introduced legislation. So for the first time ever in the United States, anti-sweatshop legislation has been introduced both in the Senate and the House. It has over 60 co-sponsors right now. And the bill is very, very simple. It says that if a company violates the core, United Nations, International Labor Organization's core labor rights, you just talk no child labor, no forced labor, freedom of association, right to have a union, decent working conditions. You're talking about the most modest core rights. If a company violates those rights, they cannot sell this product in the United States, they cannot import this product to the United States, and they cannot export it. So right now, and this bill will be introduced in the next Congress, right now, for once, for the first time, there's a proactive, positive alternative to the race to the bottom in the global economy.
But even if that law is passed, what does it mean? If Haynes did not know that laws were being broken while its products were being made, and any number of other companies who have pulled out. I guess H&M is another one that it's pulled out. That's the the European retailer.
Yes.
If they didn't know it, if the Bangladeshi authorities aren't going to tell anybody, how would a law like that even be enforceable? What would they do? They call you up, Charles, and say, so tell us where child labor is being employed these days?
Well, if it's a law that you cannot make your products under conditions which violate child labor or the right to organize or decent working conditions, the companies will all of a sudden they'll start to monitor those factories much better because those goods will be seized and they'll lose big time. So all we're saying is the current legal protections, which are backed up by sanctions that companies have for their labels and trademarks, similar legislation has to be put forth to protect the rights of the human being. In this legislation, there's also the private right to action. So even if the U.S. government did not come down on Bangladesh for child labor or come down on that particular factory, then citizens in the U.S. who are investors in retail operations like Walmart, you can take a civil action against the company. So the legislation would really change the global economy in very, very important ways.
You said that some of these kids don't want to lose their jobs. They just don't want to be hit, and they don't want to have their wages confiscated. They want to be paid for overtime. Where do you stand on that? Do you understand their feelings, or would you just want to make sure that they never worked in a factory?
Well, we said to the kids, and this was a very tough one because we were, as honest as we possibly could be, we will fight to the end to try to get you into school. The companies owe you that. In fact, many of the companies have codes of conduct which say if a child is found in the factory, we're going to give them a stipend to replace their wages and send them to school. And that was our goal, to send these kids to school.
Have any of them gone to school at all?
No. One kid, one 10-year-old who was too small to turn into a malnourished adult, is supposedly getting some education. Other ones have been threatened and just disappeared. We think that they threatened them so much they went back to the countryside. So we're not going to give up. We're going back. We're working with those people on the ground. But our goal is that the children should not work. They belong in school. The companies have enormous profits and revenues. They could easily give these kids. They could send these kids to school for $10 a week, for $13 a week. It's nothing. It's a matter of principle. They won't do it because they know that opens up other avenues. People will be coming after them for other violations. But kids shouldn't work. They belong in school. But they have to have stipends so that they don't suffer. They've suffered enough as it is.
Is this problem unique to Bangladesh?
Well, I mean, Bangladesh right now, I would say that the child labor is coming back, but we're seeing it in other areas, in Guatemala, flower picking. Of course, you had it in the cocoa industry, the chocolate industry. In the garment industry, it was largely wiped out. That was why it was so troubling to see it come back in Bangladesh. I mean, all over the world. I mean, we're looking at some factories in China now. I mean, the workers are getting stepped on. I mean, they're cheated at their wages. They're being forced to work the same hours. But you don't really see child labor as much inside the factories.
Have companies been hurt? Walmart sales are down, but I suspect that's less to do with revelations that they have been selling stuff made by child labor than other factors in the economy.
Well, no, they're still very sensitive. I mean, Walmart did hire a war room with people. They don't get paid the wages of Walmart workers. They're getting $450,000 a year to protect Walmart now. So the companies have to remain very sensitive to the issue of child labor and to these, you know, gross violations. I mean, in this particular factory, they did keep these double sets of books. So the workers were marked out every night at 7 o'clock. Didn't matter if they worked at 3 o'clock in the morning. Their pay ended at 7. So these kids were actually subsidizing Walmart and subsidizing Haynes and the other companies. I mean, like I said, just routine beatings. I mean, just it was a very, very nasty factory. And the companies don't want to be attached to that. I mean, they find it quite embarrassing.
Are you looking into other countries now? Can we expect another investigation?
Yes.
Revealing something terrible in the near future?
Well, the sad fact is you get this almost all the time. Like, we were in our office one night and a fax machine went off and was late on a Friday night. And we walked over and looked at it. It was a handwritten fax in broken English. It was from a Bangladesh worker who was trapped in Jordan, working under the U.S.-Jordan Free Trade Agreement. And it said, please help us. We're being beaten, starved, they're raping our women. And I mean, we were like shocked. This, wait a second, this is a U.S. free trade agreement with Jordan. We carried out an investigation. Turned out there were tens of thousands of foreign guest workers in Jordan under the U.S.-Jordan free trade agreement who were stripped of their passports, held under conditions of involuntary servitude. They were beaten. They went for months without wages. They were working 30-hour shifts, 38-hour shifts, 48-hour shifts, 72-hour shifts. I mean, it was some of the worst conditions we've ever seen. So unfortunately, this stuff crops up and, you know, this stuff comes into our office very frequently.
How does something like that happen under the auspices of a U.S.-Jordanian trade agreement?
Well, the trade agreement it's written in a way to fail, even though this trade agreement had worker rights inside the core of the agreement, that you had to respect the basic international ILO core labor standards. But it's written in such a way as it says to the government of Jordan, if you don't have the resources to implement all your laws, well, you just put those resources where you want to. So, of course, there was no labor ministry to speak of. And then the U.S. government position is, we don't have to do any oversight. We only respond to criticisms. And, of course, no one was making any criticisms because the workers were locked up in prison-like conditions.
Now, once again, we're talking about Bangladeshis. So is Bangladesh right now the country of choice for exploiters?
Well, in Jordan, it was also Sri Lanka, it was China, it was India. But right now, Bangladesh has signed an agreement with Malaysia to send 500,000 workers to Malaysia. There was an ad in the newspaper the other day for the Bin Laden group was bringing workers to Saudi Arabia from Bangladesh. I mean, human trafficking is huge now. I mean, it's all over the world and it's growing.
We should point out that the Bin Laden group has disavowed any connections to Osama, one of the many children.
Yes.
But still.
It still struck me as being an odd add to this paper.
And I want to thank you so much for being with us again today. Charles Kernighan, Executive Director of the National Labor Committee. We've been talking about factories producing goods for some of America's biggest corporations in Bangladesh using children as young as 10 and 11 years old.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.